Basketball Podcast, Big Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper, back from Las Vegas. I didn't lose my car. That's good. I've got Matt Moore on the line. You had an eventful weekend. I had an eventful weekend. I sound like crap. How's it going?
Good. We missed you. It was hard to get by without you. We've been watching a lot of basketball around here. Royce especially has been watching a lot of basketball because Royce covered for me this weekend. When I went skiing, which we'll get to in a second. But how did you do? How was Vegas during the tournament? I've never been. It sounds like an amazing experience.
It's a really great time because you see this throughout the year with a lot of things, especially like on Football Sunday. You know, point spread's such a big thing. And people gamble on point spreads and they win a lot of money from it and they lose a lot of money from it. And that is heightened by about a million when you're in Vegas for March Madness. All anybody cares about is the point spread. They don't even care about their brackets at certain points. Like, they just, you bet on games, you're pushing for the over, you're pushing for the under, whatever. And, for example, the Cal Syracuse game, the spread is 6.5, at least at most of the sports books there. And in the last minute of that game, Cal, you know, kind of makes an unnecessary push to cut it from like 10 to 6, and then it ends at 6. Like, they end up losing by 6, and people are just screaming at the TV. I mean, they're dribbling the clock out, and people are screaming to go dunk the ball. It's just an amazing experience.
The characters that you were sending photos of, like Sunglasses Guy, looked pretty amazing.
Sunglasses Guy was a nice little surprise. We were out walking through. We wanted to go see this, as you do in Vegas. They had an Andy Warhol exhibit at the Bellagio. And my lady loves Andy Warhol, so we decided to go check that out. And then it was like, I don't know, like $20 a ticket. And we're like, we don't really want to do that after all. And so we went and grabbed a quick bite to eat. And this guy, I mean, like, I'm not exaggerating. For about 8 minutes, he sits at the table and he has his sunglasses like on his chin, and he's just sitting there talking to his date, ordering food. He even tried to drink I should have gotten this like on a Vine video. He tried to drink out of his iced tea with the sunglasses on his chin and then realized, oh, I should take these off. It was fantastic. I saw the laziest thing. This was, I'm a very lazy person. I appreciate laziness in many forms, and this was the laziest thing I've ever witnessed. After a really fun night, I believe it was Thursday night for us, we had a great night. We went to Encore, which is kind of the spinoff to the Wynn Casino Hotel, and we're playing blackjack, and we played blackjack for like literally like 5.5 hours. I mean, we were there a very long time, and I didn't, like, my lady played it first, and she doubled her money. She had to, like, you know, she lost the money first, and then she, like, bought back in and doubled everything she had bet and was having a really good run of it. And even, like, she got 4 straight hands of 12s and won those hands. Like, she was just pulling cards left and right, whatever she needed. It was great. And then I played for, like, the last 2.5-3 hours at that table, ended up breaking even over that time, which was incredible too. And we like there were guys that got kicked out of the casino who were gambling at our table. We had great conversations with people, with the dealer. Like, it was just a really fun 5 hours. And as we're coming back, we were staying at the MGM Signature, but it's easier if you go in, if you like take a taxi to MGM and then you walk through this walkway. Well, they have those moving walkways. And this is like 3 in the morning. We see two people, like, I don't know, people in their 50s or 60s, on Rascals, those little motorized Rascals, and they have used the moving walkway just to, like, not have to use the Rascal. So they are, and I put this on Vine, they have, by the way, the only music they play in Vegas now is Maroon 5. That's it. You walk into any casino, you walk into anywhere, it's just Maroon 5 playing. That's all they have. And
is it classic Maroon 5 or is it modern?
It's a lot of new stuff. A lot of new stuff.
It's a lot of Jagger.
Yeah, a lot of Jagger, a lot of Payphone, which couldn't be a worse song for the era we're in. No, like there are no payphones anymore. anymore. But that's neither here nor there. So these people are like back to back, like it almost looks like when a truck has to push a car that's stalled, like bumper to bumper.
Right.
And they're just there sitting on it, and I like tweeted out, and people are like, oh, they're just saving batteries. No, there's no excuse here. There's no excuse. Like, I don't care about saving batteries or whatever. This is not a far way to go, and they're going to have to use these at some point. They didn't save enough battery to make it worth their trouble, because the man who was behind the woman got stuck on the first walkway and had to, like, basically get up and, like, push his rascal over the lip of the end of the walkway, which was fantastic. It was one of the top five moments of my life, which may be sad to a lot of people, but you had to be there. It was that great.
That's prolific. I also saw your ham sandwich tweet.
If you go to Vegas, you have to go to the Cosmopolitan Casino Hotel and go to Haleo. It's a Spanish tapas place. And there was like this, the only way to describe it was like the greatest world cheese sandwich or grilled cheese sandwich in the world. It's Iberico ham, it was manchego cheese, and then there was like truffles in it. So it just melted. Like it was perfect. They've got these bacon wrapped dates with honey in them that are unbelievable. The paella is incredible. The sangria is amazing. Like you can't get a bad thing there. I highly recommend Haleo at Cosmo.
I had boiled chicken and macaroni and cheese on Saturday.
Basically so, the same meal.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Look at the games in a second. I went skiing on Friday.
Okay.
And I am not the most coordinated person in the world.
Sure.
But, you know, I was like, I'm not going to get worried about this. I'm just going to go out there and do it. We thought, like, okay, it's late March. Most of spring break's over. The lodge should be – we're not going to one of the major lodges. It should be pretty decent in terms of the crowd. Nope, it was packed. Which, of course, like, immediately my anxiety starts ticking up.
Right.
Up. And then, you know, you're bundled up in these. I've been skiing once 5 years ago, and so I'm like, well, my family keeps telling me like, oh, you remember it's like riding a bike. Everyone kind of remembers. Total lie. You're bundled up in this giant gear and this huge outfit. You can barely walk because of all the stuff to keep you warm. And then, you know, you're on the boots, and my wife for some reason decides to put her skis on a hill,
like that's confusing.
Going up a hill.
Yeah.
Which of course you can't even like you can't stop,
right?
And so like I get mine on and I'm like sliding backwards, fall out of it twice, and then like you know finally I get up and then like they're worried because they're like they know I'm having trouble. They're like, well, just come over here and once you start skiing, you'll be fine. Like we just gotta get you on the lift. And so like my mother-in-law is holding up the rope to the line,
yeah,
and wants me to slide down a hill to get in line when I haven't been on skis in 5 years,
right?
So of course like I bite it, I fall. I can't get out of my skis. I can't get out of the way. And, like, the biggest trigger of my anxiety is being in the way.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm, like, freaking out. I'm like a fish trying to flop my way back up out of the line. I finally get up there. I finally, like slam my pole into the ski thing to get my foot out. And then, like, I just told them, I was like, go on. Let me get settled, and then maybe I'll go up and later. I'll go get some lessons. Eventually, I get some lessons, right? And I had lessons 5 years ago. I had group lessons, and 5 years ago, this old man told me that I was the worst skier he'd ever seen.
Oh my god!
Like in front of all these people, and I was like, "Thanks, great, that's helpful." And so, finally, I go and I get some lessons. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just gonna pay for the private lesson, and I'll get it. So in a private lesson at this resort, like they don't take you on like another hill or anything. Nope, you're there with the kids. And they have this thing called the magic carpet, which is just they lay down basically blue astroturf, and it helps you to kind of skid along. And then it's called like the magic carpet, which is it's a conveyor belt. It's like a moving walkway.
Yeah,
that goes up the hill. And so, like, I'm watching all these kids, and then, like, I get on it, and I actually handled that fine. I actually skied much better than, like, it did actually come back to me, and it was fine. But it was also hilarious because this poor dude in front of me, it was his first time skiing. And he was like, you can get, you know, I came, my second time up, I came up behind him. He's like, you can go ahead. I was like, no, man. I was like, look, you know, I had a lot of trouble, like, last time, because the first time I was skiing, like, I said things to my wife on that hill that are still a divide between us. It is the meanest I've ever been to my wife. for being mad at her dragging me up that hill. So I'm behind this dude, and he's like, go ahead. I'm like, no, it's fine. He was like, well, I fell the last time I was on this thing. And I was like, no, it's okay, man. I've been there. It's totally okay. And he looks back at me, he's like, this thing is a death machine. And then he fell again.
And you pointed and laughed.
Like, I've been there, so I didn't want to laugh, but I hadn't been on the conveyor belt, and he's stuck on the conveyor belt going up, and he can't get off. And he's yelling and confused about what's happening to him.
That's when you should have just waited for him to come back to you, and you guys just go to the ski lodge and just drink the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, but my wife keeps insisting that I ski. But I actually wound up skiing. I didn't fall once when I was actually skiing. Fell getting off a lift, but everyone does that. Ski pretty well. Looking forward to going back. Not a bad deal.
Yeah, I've only been skiing like 2 or 3 times in my life, and I've got like meniscus trouble in my right knee, and I've had it for a long time. And that is not a sport you do when you have a bad meniscus. That yeah, hurts like hell.
Chris Paul will not be doing any skiing in the near future.
No.
Okay, so here, let's catch you up real quick on what happened.
Heat won't lose, Nuggets won't lose.
Right.
I know that.
Heat won't lose, Nuggets won't lose. The Cavs Heat game, which is a shame that we didn't get to talk about it.
I did watch that. I saw like the last minute, 2 minutes maybe.
Just ridiculous. Just really absurd. I mean, and I want to clarify this. On Twitter, I said, this thing's almost at 30. It's about, if it hits 30, it's about done.
Yeah.
And then when they came back, everyone's like, whoops. And I was like, no. I said it's going to get to 30. I made that lie. Because I really do. I think if it hit 30, I think most NBA players are like, well, it's 30. I mean, really, we're down 30. Versus like 27, it's like, oh, well, I mean, if we get down to 22, then we're within range. And then, no, he just absolutely just blistered them. And they've done this. They've been down in a bunch of their games lately. I think their last 4 games, they've been down. They were down to the Pistons on Friday night, roared back and won that one. They were down to the Bobcats by 11, roared back and won that one. They just kind of – they're really screwing around in the first couple quarters and then just blitzing teams in the second half.
I honestly feel like they're troubleshooting. Like they're just trying to find different scenarios. It's like you can – like they would have those Madden challenges – where it's like, hey, you're down 13 with 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Bring your team back to win. Like, that's all Spoelstra's doing right now. He's just drawing up scenarios for them to come back.
Okay, Ray, we want you to miss every three-pointer that you take.
Right.
Mario, throw as dumb passes as possible. New York has kind of stabilized a little bit.
That's nice to see.
They beat Orlando and Toronto. So, take what you will. They've got Boston, who's going to be without Rondo, Barbosa, Sullinger, and KG tomorrow. So, they play Boston, I think, twice in a week. So, it's a big week for New York.
Yeah.
They're going to be locked in with the Pacers pretty much till the end. Get this. The Heat's magic number is 2.
That sounds right.
If they beat Orlando on Monday night, when we're recording this podcast, who are going to be without Nikola Vucevic. Vucevic?
Yeah.
Vucevic. And the Knicks lose to the Celtics on Tuesday. The Heat will have secured the number one seed in the East on March 26th.
It's still crazy, though, because they're only 2.5 ahead of San Antonio for the number one seed in the entire league. And they've won 26 in a row.
Yeah, it's pretty. I looked at some stuff. You know what's actually surprising, though? I looked at this last night. The 96 Bulls, it took them in their 72-10 year, it took them till April 4th to get the number one.
Yeah.
In the East, because Orlando was so close. Orlando was at 55.
That Orlando team was really good.
Penny Hardaway was really good.
People don't remember that this guy was drawing legitimate comparisons to Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
At the time, like whether they were correct or not, that was the conversation because Magic had just gone away. Penny came in. He's a 6'7" point guard who just did everything. Like he was ridiculous. He was a top 10 player in the league almost instantly.
Spurs got Parker back. They kept winning. They bid a close one last night to the Rockets. Harden hit a great shot. Their defense slipped a little bit in March, ticked up to to over 100 for the first time. It's still the lowest it's been in 3 years for March.
Yeah.
Because like I track, and if you're wondering why I'm tracking that specific stat, it's because San Antonio, 2 years running, they had really great starts of the year, and their defense fell apart as the year went on. So I'm going to be keeping a pretty close eye on how San Antonio's defense does over the last 2 months of the season. As much as there's a lot of noise in the last month of the season, the overall result is very important to me because that's my big question with them in the playoffs. You know they're going to score.
Yeah.
It's whether they can stop anybody.
Right.
And so that's kind of the question. Milwaukee can't gain any ground on Boston, which is frustrating. They've lost 2 games to Atlanta in 5 days. They really need to get that sorted out. Philadelphia has had a rough road trip, got a win last night. We're in position to beat Denver and end the streak. And I wish you could have seen it, this game, because I was there. And, I mean, realistically, it was one of the most disgusting games I've ever seen. It was bottom five for the worst of the year. It was the worst game I've seen live. And there was no reason for them to get back in it. Evan Turner misses 2 free throws. They have a 2-point lead. And they give up. Brewer comes around a screen after they block off Gallo and don't go for the fake. Brewer comes around a screen and launches a double clutch 30-footer, and they foul him.
Oh, I did. I saw the highlights of this game where they broke down the end. And yeah, that was not the worst foul I've ever seen, but it's up there.
You know, I was joking. I was like, that's the most impressive tank job I've seen. And somebody DM'd me and was upset because they're like, do you really think Doug Collins would do such a thing? And I'm like, no, but there's just no other way to explain. Man, I was really worried for my life post-game. Because Doug Collins had this grin on his face. It was like the Joker.
Yeah.
Like in the 1989 Batman. It was, he was like, what do you want me to say? What can I say? Like, it was very, we're all mad here. It was not good. I was terrified for my life. Chicago's bad. That's new. I don't know how new, but it's slightly new. They are, I mean, maybe it's the injuries, but they got Gibson and Heinrich back, and they're still struggling.
No, it's definitely the injuries. They don't have Noah. They don't have Rose. They don't have Hamilton, yeah. Which Hamilton's not a great player anymore. He's not even really that good, but he's stabilized. Like, he provides some needed depth.
The Wizards stormed. The Wizards were outscored 35-19 in the first quarter and won the game versus the Lakers on Saturday.
Yeah, furious comeback.
Just the Lakers just went. It was Kobe ran out of shot making ability late, which was a bad time because he was launching everything. And just one of those games which we haven't really seen from him this year, but that happened. And that's, you know, that's the majority of what else occurred. Memphis loses Marc Gasol.
That sucks. After that big tip-in.
Yeah. Beat Oklahoma City. They beat Boston. They're in pretty good position right now in terms of the playoffs. You know, it's interesting. I heard the Clippers commentators have been talking a lot, and they're actually talking a lot about how the defense is so much different than it was in November and December. There's an overall kind of thought that everyone watching the Clippers is really, I know that you're keeping the faith, but there's some concern, I think, with that team.
Sure, there's concern. I still think they'll be fine. But I'm not pretending there isn't concern.
Yeah. Chicago did beat Indiana, which, by the way, because Indiana just cannot. They just do not want to secure that 2 seed.
That's a series I don't want to see, is Indiana-Chicago, unless Derrick Rose is back.
Yeah, it would be gross. It would be so, so, so gross.
It would be really gross. It wouldn't be Sixers-Bulls gross from last year, but it would be up there.
It would be up there.
I had an interesting question posed to me, and I know that you are a lot more pro-Nuggets than I am, but here's my take. It was, would the Warriors rather face the Nuggets or the Clippers? And my reasoning was, I think they'd rather face the Nuggets simply because I think the Warriors can trick the Nuggets into getting into a shootout with them, and the Nuggets aren't a good outside shooting team. So that would play into the hands of the Warriors. Whereas if they have to face Chris Paul and Blake Griffin for 7 games, that you're asking Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Jarrett Jack to out-execute Chris Paul. And I think that you're more likely to win a shootout than you are then the Warriors are, as the team they're currently constructed to, have to be like perfectly executing every night.
It's an interesting question. I think it's close.
Yeah, I don't think it's a slam dunk. I just said I think Denver would definitely be the matchup just because the Warriors do want to run a little bit, and I just think you can trick them into taking bad shots.
Here's a good kind of way to look at it for me. This is one of the reasons I've been so impressed with Denver. I looked at this the other day. They're fourth in transition defense via synergy.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, though, right? So the idea has always been that if you're running up and down the floor, you're going to have to give up a lot of points at the other end. This is a team that creates a monstrous number and unheard of. They're on pace to break the record for most points in the paint in a season. And they get back and they play transition defense. They run. They get you running and they stop you in that area too. And the biggest thing, I think, with Golden State, if you're Golden State's defense, you want everyone in front of you. Because what you don't want is you don't want to have to be constantly hustling to outwork Kenneth Faried and Kosta Koufos and Andre Iguodala and Corey Brewer and all those guys out in transition going at the basket, at the basket, at the basket. Because you don't have the kind of bigs to get back. Your guys, it's not that they're lazy. They're just not going to be – they don't go they're not like these speeding trains that get back defensively.
Sure.
Versus the Clippers are going to be way more likely to be like, we're going to walk this up. We're going to get, you know, because Paul's going to want it. Be like, Paul knows that model. He's like, we need to play sound, solid playoff basketball.
Which I think is, as an underdog, which the Warriors certainly would be in either series, I think you have to rely on a hectic style.
I agree, but you want to create havoc offensively and then be able to get stops. And it's a lot right. easier to get stops against Matt Barnes in a half-court offense.
I disagree.
Really?
Not with Chris Paul orchestrating everything. And you cannot limit
Chris Paul's not going to make him hit more shots, Zach. Chris Paul's not going to make him if the Clippers perimeter shooters go cold, they're cold. They don't have another way to get around it. The Nuggets don't have to necessarily hit shots because they outrun you.
Right. And that's a good point because it's not like the Clippers get anything at the basket. They're just relying on shooters all game.
No, I get that. And they're going to have the Lob City stuff. But
that's the problem, though, is that it's a choice of style, not necessarily who's hot right now. The Warriors are better in an up and down game in which they can shoot a lot of threes. If they get into a slow game in which they have to execute, they don't get to go up and down and shoot a lot of threes. That's the point. It's not that I don't like Denver Denver. What Denver does gets discounted in the playoffs. It's simply the Warriors like to get out in transition and throw up threes. Like, they don't like to get dunks in transition. They like to get to the three-point line. That's what they're good at.
I'll agree with you from the perspective of, you know, if it turns into an offensive series, then you have to like Golden State better because it's simply a matter of one team can shoot and the other can't.
Oh, I'd still take Golden State to lose both of those series.
Right, no, and I know, but I'm saying, I do agree with you, what you're saying there. It's like, if you're looking for a recipe, it's they hit a ton of threes.
Right. And that's how you upset, I mean, that's kind of what they did, these are completely different matchups, but against the Mavericks in 2007, they were a team that created a lot of havoc and hit a lot of big shots from outside. And that seems to be the model, aside from the Spurs-Grizzlies upset, in which that was just, hey, we're going to beat you up for seven games.
Yeah. I definitely think it's a close. I think if anything, if you're the Warriors, you want the Grizzlies to get the three.
Yeah, probably.
Because, I mean, I'm telling you, Memphis can't score. They just cannot score. And this was, everyone's going to say, oh, the Rudy Gay. No, they couldn't score before. Like, period. They can't score. And Zach Randolph will have a huge series, and Marcus Hall will probably have a big series. But if they can get Klay Thompson to contain Mike Conley from the perimeter, they'd be in great shape to simply outscore them.
Well, and, I mean, I know the internet loves him, but you don't really want to rely on Jared Bayless to be an X factor in any series.
And he that the internet loves him. Half because he's played for now, what, three teams? Four teams, I think.
Four, yeah.
Three, four. However many, all of those fans hate him because he does all the things that he does. Like, I don't mind it when he does them because I knew that coming in. like he makes terrible plays sometimes, and then he rises up and hits a big shot because he's got that mentality. He doesn't have the skill.
Right.
I think part of it is just that I really like Denver's defense. I've gotten to be to where I really like Denver's defense, considering their efficiency. Now the Clippers have a better defense. They have the 8th best, and then the Nuggets are the 11th. I don't like where they're trending, but I think that's, you know, I think it's that I probably have more confidence in their defense than you do, and I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. That's probably the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that they're a very easy team to adjust to in a playoff format. Like, that's always my problem with them. The Clippers aren't difficult to adjust to, but I think that...
I mean, your biggest thing is you're just like, you can't solve Chris Paul, right?
Right. I mean, that's a big key there.
If I felt like Paul was going to take over and just, like, score 40, I'd feel better, but I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to continuously work to create assists, and I have questions about whether or not they have, like, as much as their weapons look great at the beginning of the year, I'm starting to wonder if, you know, Matt Barnes is going to come back to earth, and if the veteran guys are going to be, if the age is going to end up showing, and then it's really just him, Crawford, and Griffin. And that's a lot.
That is a lot.
But, you know, there's also, Griffin's also been shown that you can limit him. We've seen him in a lot of big games where he's just been like, I keep waiting for it, like, because I really like all the progress that he's shown this year, but I haven't seen, like, a game where he's just absolutely killed another team.
I don't know, against either Kenneth Faried or David Lee, I wouldn't suggest that Blake Griffin is likely to be limited. Kenneth Faried is a better defender now than he was at the beginning of the year, but he's still very gettable.
That's fair. I mean, you know, Festus Ezeli would rack up like a million fouls.
Yeah, if you're talking about Memphis, then I think they can contain him pretty easily.
I don't want Memphis Clippers. Oh God, I don't want that 4-5.
That's what it looks like right now.
I know. It's, you know.
If Denver would ever lose, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Which would be, it'd be really weird, I think. By the way, here's a good example where we're at. The Clippers are, I think, they're like 8th in defensive efficiency since January 1st, right?
Yeah.
But since February 1st, they're 18th.
Okay.
In defensive efficiency. So their last 23 games, they're 18th in defensive efficiency. The Nuggets are 8th in their last 24. Which is actually surprising because January was when Denver won all those games. Like, Denver had all these home games and played exceptionally well in January.
January was when they won all these games. By the way, they're currently on a 15-game winning streak.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna follow that up, but it was also, I just remember that, like, January they won, like, I think they won like 12 games. It was one of the highest in Carl's career, and they had all those home games. Especially, it was more of, I was thinking like, well, they've had more road games, so it had to have been closer because they're not as good on the road, you know?
Yeah.
Because like the Nuggets have the 4th best net efficiency since February 1st.
Yeah. No, they're very good at getting net efficiency.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting. And, like, I don't want to hitch my wagon to the Nuggets. I think everybody in the West is fallible.
Oh, you done hitched it already.
I don't want to. I really don't want to. Like, I really do honestly think that everybody in the West is fallible. I don't think that last night's game proves anything about Houston San Antonio. It would take an absolutely massive series of events to occur at once. But I still feel like there's that possibility there versus, like, last year with the Jazz, it was like, no, there's no chance.
Right.
You know? I feel like there are possibilities for every single team in the West to lose to every single team in the West because of just how the matchups are, and it's just a really, really close conference. You know, I mean, and right now it's Lakers-San Antonio, and that's, you know, that's a really weird one to think about, too, just from you worry, like, okay, if the Lakers get it together, you know, what happens there? I mean, we know who we're going to end up picking. Like, you and I are going to pick San Antonio in the first 2 rounds, regardless.
Second round, I'm not positive. But really? First round, for sure. No matter who they match up against.
If the Clippers win the 4 and the San Antonio Spurs get the 1, are you thinking about the Clippers over Spurs?
I am.
You are, like, the biggest Clipper guy, and I think, in the Nationals. Like, this is impressive. Like, you are sold on them.
Their problem last year, last year.
Injuries. I got the crap kicked out.
Well, injuries, but they also, like, They just didn't have any wing players last year. And now, assuming health, I like a rotation of Crawford, Butler kind of, Barnes, Grant Hill, Chauncey Billups. Like, that's just a lot of depth. And not that they're going to run 10, 11 deep in the playoffs, but they'll have options. And I think that's, I think you need options, especially defensively, against San Antonio. So it depends on how both teams are playing, but I wouldn't just automatically say, yeah, I'll go with the Spurs over the Clippers in the second round.
I thought about it, and at the beginning of the year, I was kind of like, you know what, the Clippers really could do this. As I've kind of gone on, I'm wavering a little bit. We'll have to see. And I think that you and I are both going to pick Oklahoma City in the second round.
Yeah, I'm taking Oklahoma City probably all the way through to the finals.
Yeah.
So I find it very unlikely I would take anybody over them.
And so we're really only talking about possibilities here. Yeah. Everyone kind of wants the Rockets Thunder matchup because they want to see Harden again. And I'm just like, I don't think Houston has a shot against OKC.
No, I think it'd be a very fun five games.
Yeah, like that's definitely a gentleman's sweep kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's really tight. All of the playoff seeds are really locked. Are exceptionally tight. Golden State. I have to look at it. I haven't written them down yet. I've looked at these magic numbers for 2 days, and I just know that Golden State's essentially locked into the six. They're not getting out of there. And with the Lakers falling off, it doesn't look like they're going to climb out of the eight. So it's either going to be them or Dallas. And so then it just comes down to whether Houston can overtake Golden State or not.
Right.
A Denver-Houston game. Series. Wow.
That's a lot of offense. I think that would also be a very fun five games.
Right.
Maybe four. I don't think Houston could beat Denver. Even again.
I don't want to see Oklahoma City Golden State because I said this last night. I'm really excited for Stephen Curry in the playoffs.
Yeah. I would be. I mean, he's a lot of fun. It still worries me that he can't score inside the 3-point line very consistently. That's the thing I'm worried about with him.
If you're New York, I guess, you got to be feeling, I think, pretty good because Chicago's been so bad. Even if you land in a 2-7 with them or a 3-6 with them, you're okay. Right?
I don't know that you feel good at all. No matter what the matchup is, it doesn't mean they won't win the matchup, but they got to get things headed in a different direction. I mean, I know they've won 4 in a row, but they've just got to look better for about a 6 or 7 game period before they can start feeling good about themselves in the first round. There's just a lot of questions there, mainly because of health.
I really want Brooklyn to tank a little bit because I really want New York Brooklyn in the first round because I feel like that's the only series with Brooklyn that I feel like is going to be compelling at all.
Right, Brooklyn's a very boring team to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about this with the guys from Paroxysm this morning about how like they're just very uninteresting. Which they've got a lot of like talented players, but I think it's partly the pace and just how they're used and their overall kind of meh. Like Brooklyn, Atlanta.
That will be awful.
It's weird too because I watched Atlanta yesterday and there's so many guys on Atlanta I like. It's really just Josh. You think like, okay, if you took Josh Smith out and added two other interesting players, how interesting would they be? And it changes dramatically, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like they're heading in the right direction, but I don't see how far or how long that direction goes,
Yeah.
Like they've changed things from last year to this year that are important, but they have a huge offseason coming up in which they will shape the future of their franchise like they haven't been able to do since they signed Joe Johnson. And I like how they've cleared room to give themselves options, but I don't know that I don't trust the Hawks ever, but I definitely don't know that I trust they'll keep heading in the correct direction.
If you're Boston and you know that you got all these injuries and everything stacked up against you, does part of you kind of want to go ahead and face Miami early? Or do you want to try and sneak into that Miami-New York series, spook New York because they're rattled because of their history against you, and that way you can duck until the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe get past Indiana. Is that your best? Is that still your best shot to avoid Miami as long as possible to try and build confidence?
I mean, you avoid Miami just to avoid Miami.
I go for like the opposite, where I'm like, if it's a team that I feel like I have a shot against, and they definitely feel like they do, I want them early. I want them like napping, and I really want to try and shock them.
Well, right, but I mean, are we talking things that actually have a chance of happening, or are we talking like Boston media propaganda right now?
Well, I guess I'm talking more. If you're Boston, you're not just gonna be like, well, we don't have a chance.
Well, right. No, they should feel they have a chance, but. I agree that they don't. I think that they need to just avoid as long as possible, because there has to be a reality in their minds. I mean, I'm sure Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett feel differently, and maybe Jason Terry, but the rest of those guys know that it's not looking good when they face Miami.
So just focus on the playoff money, and the further you go, the better a year it is. Like,
right, and then you can always go to like, hey, we didn't have Rajon Rondo in a playoff series, so we always lose those series.
Yeah, and we still beat New York.
Right.
Would that be the idea?
I mean, I don't think they get past Indiana anyway, so.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you have any perceptions from the draft, from draft stuff, from watching the guys? Because I just did a big breakdown of kind of the top seven or so guys that played in the opening weekend, and oh my god, this draft is horrible.
It's not horrible, it's just not star-studded. There are a lot of good role players.
Is the number one projected, and he got pulled because itself was like, I feel like it was a better, our team was better, and it wasn't like he was doing well and just running outside of the flow of the offense. Like, he just wasn't, you know, he went 0-9. Like,
well, I know personally, you know me, one game colors my entire perception on a player.
Yeah, he wasn't good in the opening round either.
Right, he was good all season long. But he's been poor in two. This is the type of thinking that gets Tyrus Thomas drafted in the top four.
No, I know, but he was also not, like, that's the thing, is like, it wasn't like Macklemore was terrific all year. He was good.
No, he was really, really good all year. He's the best player in the draft. Now, that doesn't mean it's a good draft, but it's a bad draft in terms of stars, but in terms of role players, there are dozens and dozens of guys who will be solid rotation players.
I mean, I think it's possible. I think there will obviously be some. Like, not everybody's going to flame out. I like Oladipo a lot. I like his defensive prowess actually a lot.
Yeah, he's fun. He'll be a good player.
Do you like anybody else?
I mean, I've liked Zeller all year. He'll be a starting center in the NBA. Like, he's a solid guy. Like, I think people. This is something I learned to do a few years ago. You have to divorce yourself of this number pick means this expectation. Like, you can't say this guy's a top five pick. He has to be an all NBA guy. Like, at a certain point, certain teams need stars, but most teams just need to draft a guy that they can plug into their rotation for the next 4 or 5 years, maybe 7, 8, and have like positive contributions. You'll get your Kyrie Irvings and your Derrick Roses and your Kevin Durants here and there, but for the most part, you just can't miss on draft picks. You don't have to hit big, you just can't miss. And I see a lot of guys who probably won't miss. I just don't think any. I think maybe Ben McLemore is a guy who can hit big. I think maybe Nerlens Noel, you know, if he can get healthy, I think he'll hit fairly big. But other than that, you know, Oladipo might hit big, but he's probably a poor man's Iguodala, which isn't a bad thing, but it's not like people are going to see him and be like, oh, this guy's going to turn our franchise around. And that's irrational.
Yeah. I will say, I've been trying to say this over and over again, you know, last year's draft looked really strong, and it's been only okay. And it's not to say that these guys aren't rotation players. Like, Bradley Beal's going to be a good player, and Deion Waiters is probably going to be a good player, and, you know, all these different things, but it hasn't been the kind of class that we expected. So you have to consider that. Like, it could come out next year, and Kyrie Irving was supposed to be like the leader of a really weak class, and he's been fantastic. He's been the best player the last 3 years. So, you know, I guess you got to figure that too. As always, I think the draft is a crapshoot. So.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. It's just the if you get a number three pick and the guy isn't, you know, a 10-time All-Star, people are like, oh, he's a bust. That's wrong. He can still be a very good player. like Enos Kanter could turn out to be a very good player, and people will look at the fact that he was, you know, one of the top picks in the draft, and they'll be like, oh, they really screwed up on that pick.
And the biggest thing is, if you're a team, don't turn your franchise around anybody that you draft this summer.
Right.
I wouldn't do that. I would keep looking forward through either free agency or draft or whatever, and they'll say, "Well, we always do that," and they can say that, but it's not true. Like
only do that with the season ticket packages.
Right. Like, it's just not a good idea. So games tonight. Nuggets going for win bazillion in a row. 16 is what they're going for tonight in New Orleans.
That's a lock.
Hornets are 7-point dogs at home.
That is a lock.
You like the Nuggets even though they're on the road?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I liked them against the Thunder, didn't I?
You did.
That was one of the better calls I've ever pulled out of my ass.
I have no idea. As much of a schedule loss as I thought that was. Apparently, Andre Miller gave the most inspiring pregame speech that they've ever heard.
Because it was his birthday.
He literally did. He gave this big speech, and he almost never talks pregame.
Yeah, well, that was funny is that he gave this speech, and they're like, oh, Andre Miller gave this speech before the game, and blah, blah, blah. And then I think they asked Kenneth Faried to recant what he said, to go over what Miller said. And he tried to explain it, but Kenneth Faried isn't, I don't know, he's not media trained yet. He's getting better, but he's just not there yet, you know? And
he hates talking.
Yeah, he's probably a guy that is awesome to talk to, off the record in a comfortable environment for him. And when you get into, the media scrums and stuff, he just kind of freezes up, which is totally understandable for a young guy like that. And I mean, I think any player that is savvy talking to the media before their mid-20s, before 26, that guy's just a social freak. Like, that just shouldn't be a normal thing to be able to do. But he goes over what he said Andre Miller said. I'm just like, yeah, super inspiring. What the hell happened?
Yeah, it was really, really weird. That was a weird win. The Pacers are favored by 7.5 tonight versus the Hawks on a back-to-back.
That sounds like a lot.
Neither one of these teams I trust.
I trust the Pacers to win. 7.5.
Man, the Pacers have some bad losses.
They have some good wins.
When they fall apart, they just melt.
Sure, but this is also the Hawks on the road.
Do you like the 7.5?
No, I like the Pacers to win, but I think it's probably 5 or 6.
Okay. The Grizzlies without Marcus Gasol are on the road in D.C. The Wizards are only 3-point dogs.
Yeah, I'd probably take the Wizards to cover.
I think I'd take the Wizards to win here. I think that
really?
I think Memphis is going to get bit a lot with Marcus Gasol out because they're just their offense is going to fall apart and their defense can't cover.
Yeah.
The problem is it's not just that the offense ramps down, is that sometimes the offense ramps down at the exact same time as the offense gets hot. Now, Boston had a bunch of ridiculousness going on with Jordan Crawford went into Nate Robinson mode, but it's still they couldn't score at all to stem the bleed.
Yeah,
and so I can see the Wizards kind of pushing that out because they really are playing pretty well. They're just a solid solid mid lottery team is what they should be without the horrible start without Wall.
Right.
So probably the Wizards win here. Your Utah Jazz, which are not good over the last little stretch here, are 7.5-point favorites versus the Sixers. Sixers are on a back-to-back.
7.5 points is a lot. I like the Jazz to win, but I don't think by that much.
I'll go ahead and I'll take the Jazz. I figure that they've got to have a few. They lost a close one last night in Dallas. I feel like they have to have a few games where they're just the professional pride kicks in. They're like, no, we're going to take care of business.
And yeah.
Surely at home versus the Sixers, right?
Yeah, for sure.
The Warriors is probably the game of the night. The Warriors are favored by 1 versus the Los Angeles Lakers, who are Kobe is game time decision with the ankle. He played the other night, wasn't great, still kind of getting there. Steph Curry is a game time decision with his ankle, tweaked it the other night, should be okay. Pau Gasol should be back. What do you think?
I like the Warriors here. If Curry plays.
What leads you down that road?
They're at home.
Yeah.
They're very good at home.
If they get past this game, they've got some more winnable games at home. They got four at home. And if they win these four, that's going to lock them into the six pretty solidly.
Yeah.
They need to take care of this. And if they can do that, they've got a really good chance of locking up the four.
Definitely.
Or the six, rather.
The six, yeah.
Which, you know, I think is big. I think you want to stay out of Oklahoma City, LA. I think, you know, their best chance is whoever gets the three.
For sure. Yeah, I think they've got to avoid – you have to avoid OKC or San Antonio. And, you know, we talked about, can they beat Denver? Can they beat the Clippers? Who has the better chance? But that both of those choices are the better chance over the Thunder and over the Spurs.
Denver, Clippers, Memphis, you're talking about two playoff series wins combined in the last, 2 years.
Yeah, and if, you know, let's say the Spurs drop to two and the Warriors drop to seven, how are the Warriors going to beat you in the playoffs with a shootout? Do you think they can outshoot the Spurs?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to find out if I was the Warriors, you know?
Yeah. No, and David Lee versus Tim Duncan, I mean, there's just a...
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems there.
Right.
The Orlando Magic, standing in the way of 27.
Yep.
They're 12.5-point dogs at home.
Is Wade playing?
Played them close last time.
Yeah. Is Wade playing?
I don't know yet. They haven't announced.
I mean, I obviously like the Heat to win regardless. If Wade plays, I like him to cover. If Wade doesn't play, I think Orlando covers.
It'll be interesting. This team's got like a little rivalry thing going with Miami that it's one of those one-sided things, but I think, you know, it would be interesting to see if any of the remaining Magic from those years kind of decide to start throwing in some buckets. So it'd be interesting. I mean, you got to like the Heat because, you know, at this point, it's like, well, they won so many. Why aren't they going to win this one?
By one-sided rivalry, you mean that Orlando's like, oh, we hate the Heat, and the Heat are like, who?
Who? Exactly. It would be good for Miami to go ahead and take care of this thing by the middle of the third quarter, put up a huge lead, and so they can get rest.
Yeah.
They don't need it. They're pretty healthy overall outside of Wade. And it just, I just keep wondering how many times you can play with fire in an NBA game.
Yeah.
And the answer is, well, you have LeBron. But I just feel like eventually, you know, it's got to catch up with you. Even if you win 9 out of 10 games, which you play with fire, surely you're going to get bit one time.
Yeah, the Tootsie Roll Hawk is on 27 right now, and he's just waiting to bite the Tootsie Pop, whatever it is. Tootsie Roll? Tootsie Pop? It's a Tootsie Pop. He's on 27. He doesn't want to get to 28.
When do you think the streak ends, now that we're here? Because we're just, I mean, they win 27. They're six away.
The second round. I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it would get to 26. So at this point, I would have to assume it. You know, you look at the bigger teams like they have Chicago coming up, they have San Antonio coming up, they have the Knicks coming up. But more likely than not, wouldn't it be one of the lesser teams? Wouldn't it be Orlando? Wouldn't it be New Orleans?
That New Orleans game, I kind of look at as a they could be over. You know, they could be looking at the San Antonio because then they would be at 28, that would be going for win 29.
Yeah.
With San Antonio and New York as the only things really standing in their way.
Right.
You know, that's one I worry about. I think I still maintain that San Antonio in San Antonio, that feels like a game the Spurs would win because, you know, how big of an FU to the league would it be to ruin the streak? Because everyone's talked about how Pop might rest his starters, and I don't think there's a chance of that. Because I think that, you know, Pop's a competitor, and I feel like he's gonna be like, "We can stop this. How great would that be?"
Right. Or you I could know? See him. I could see him tanking that game just in case they play in the finals.
Right.
Do you hope they get it?
Yeah, I hope they get it because it's just one where I want to be able to say I saw it.
Yeah, that's where I am. You know, once they got past 22. I started really thinking, like, this is obviously historic for the three-point era. It's never happened before. And just for the history of the league.
Since the merger, which LeBron noted, by the way.
Yeah. with the history of the league now coming into the conversation, that is something where it's like, how often are we going to see a team approach 33 straight wins? And not that they haven't approached it yet technically, but, you know, no other team has gotten this far. And at this point, I do kind of want to see them do it.
I think it's exciting.
It's cool to see history.
Yeah, it's cool to see history, and it's cool to see greatness. And
it's why I hope the Timberwolves keep missing 3-point shots.
You know,
because they're going to be historically the worst 3-point shooting team ever.
You know, we saw Jordan, and that was greatness. But it was, you know, I want to be able to, I guess in my professional career, I want to be able to say I covered it and saw it.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it continues. Welcome back, man. It's good to have you.
Thank you. I know I'm working right now, but I just want to go to sleep. So tired.
Back on, everybody. Ready to go.
All right, thanks, man.